Welcome to Jets Rewind, and I'm Marty Shupak in Valley Cottage, New York. I'm joined by Ralph Scherega, who's in Boston, Mass, and Ray Clifford in Marysville, Ohio. Today is Sunday, December 11th. We're recording this at 5:35, about an hour and a half after the Jets lost a tough game to the Buffalo Bills, 20-12, and moving a little further away from the playoffs. But don't lose hope yet, Jet fans. It's December 11th. We're still talking about playoffs. Ray, how you can out?
We had our opportunities, and we're still in it. And hell, if Miami wins and Miami is playing in what, the Chargers, and
New England loses,
Arizona's playing New England, we're still in. So
right.
Got to hope for a help, but hey, we it's not like we got killed. I mean, we're still competitive right there. It's we're still in the mix. So, what more can you ask for at this point compared to last year?
Ralph?
In general, the last 10 years.
What's your feeling? Then I'm going to give my
I don't feel nearly as bad as I did last week. Last week, I thought the Jets had a zillion chances to win. Yeah. And I thought they were at least as good a team as Minnesota. Buffalo is a better team than the Jets right now.
Yeah.
We'll get into the Jets, as far as I'm concerned, and for them to be a Super Bowl contender, the answer to that question is two words, which is my true record. What do you, I don't know what you're going to think it is, but that's the only thing separating them from being a Super Bowl contender. You got a guess, Marty?
True grit.
No, offensive line.
Offensive line, my text towards the beginning. I said, we're going to have to go for a tackle in the first round again.
He's got a lot of decisions to make on the offensive line this year. He really does. We'll get into that later.
Let me just say this. The weather was not ideal up in Buffalo, but it's the same for both teams. And it was frustrating not getting the offense going. But with that said, there is no doubt in, I think, any Jets fans' minds that Bam Knight is a much better back than Michael Carter. It's not even close in my mind. It wasn't a horrible day, even though we lost, unless your name is Michael Carter, both on offense and defense.
That fumble did not – oh, yeah, that's through the other Michael Carter. But that fumble did not affect the outcome of that game.
No.
But he just
it was a big factor in how it ended up, but it didn't mean we would have won if he hadn't.
Because they stopped him after that.
But Ralph, you watch the way they run. I mean, Bam Knight, I mean, he makes your
– it's been obvious to me for 3 weeks now. I'm not going to argue the case, but you do need a second running back.
Oh, yeah. No, you do, and we have it. And what I'll say is this, that the Jets, the way they answered in the second half showed me something when they scored the touchdown. The problem was Buffalo Bills answered right back, and part of the reason was Quinnen Williams went down. And I truly believe the defense was not the same when he went down. And when you miss someone like Quinnen Williams and Clemens, I guess, who had a virus, it's really tough to replace those guys. Now,
let's be honest, too. That whole drive that they scored came down to, I think they were just baiting us, and Mosley lost his mind and dove over the line and gave him a first down.
When did he get hurt? Was it in the first half or the second half?
I think it was early in the second half when they had their
– Okay, so he was still there for
their
the
drive. No, when they had their drive.
They were
driving down earlier in that drive, didn't he? Was that the drive when he went out?
I believe it was. But whether it was or it's not, I mean, just watching, using the eye test – their defense is different when he's not in there.
It was, but I think by the end of the game, the last couple of times, they seem to get their mojo back a little bit. So, it took them a while.
Right.
Explain to me why we aren't spying on Josh Allen. Why nobody was there in case he took off running?
I think because nobody wanted to volunteer for it.
let me ask you this, Ray. Who would you have spy on him?
Quincy Williams?
He's the only
guy who could take him down and push him back.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't anybody, really, honestly. I mean, I don't care who you figure out is going to be the guy who'd spy on him. But
well, I think you do. In his case, you have to pick someone who can tackle him. I don't think their safeties can tackle him.
But I'm just saying, you don't, it didn't have to be any one specific guy. It could have been depending on the call or the play, what side they thought they were going to, all that could have been somebody different. But somebody, pocket, what, 3-4 times, and there was nobody once he got past the guys rushing the quarterback, none. And then it was just run for the first down and hope he didn't do more damage than that. It drove me nuts.
You got a point there. Definitely agree with you.
But also, I just want to mention too, while I was watching the game, I started writing down how we could improve next year, getting to the playoffs, and I started making a list of quarterbacks like we went over. But as the game went on, and I'll tell you, I saw this Mike White have such a gutsy performance after he got whacked, number one. Number two, I saw him improve as a quarterback, and I'll give you an example. He took one of the worst sacks we ever saw, and I'm yelling at the TV, throw it into the ground.
And he did that a couple of times after that, yeah.
Right, after that he did that. And this was, Ralph, this was his sixth start?
That's right.
Yeah, so if he's going to improve like that, if he's going to improve on his pocket awareness, and if you remember last week I said he's hanging in there a little too long, he's got to learn to protect himself. He's got to have a little more confidence with his feet, even though he's not a fast athlete. And there weren't really any opportunities for him to run. No. But he's got to slide a little.
He can do that, but he wasn't this game.
Right. No. In the Chicago game, he was sliding like to his left at Elijah Moore pass, which is good. But I just want to say for Jet fans, I really believe that the future looks pretty good. I know he's a free agent. I'm hoping that the ribs aren't broken. They took him to a Buffalo hospital for precautions. But I'm pretty optimistic that if it's a bruise, it's a bruise, and they'll put a flak jacket on and he'll play next week. But I really like it. It's amazing. It's like the second week in a row, he was getting better as the game was going on in the second half.
Yeah.
The first half, he wasn't anything to write home about in both games. In the second half, he was throwing some ropes. I mean, he was hitting guys up the middle on the sideline. I know Mims dropped a pass. There was that pass to Barrios, which was in close, and I don't know if he could have caught it. My son said it hit him in the helmet. I said, I think it was
I think it actually ricocheted.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, so, honestly, though, he wasn't horrid in the first half either. I mean, he wasn't great, but you weren't looking at him in the first half going, uh-oh, we're in trouble. You know, it was more like he just wasn't.
Right.
He wasn't as good as you would like him to be, but he wasn't terrible.
Right, it was tough. I mean, Josh Allen was bad, wasn't good in the first half either. And I guess they got used to the conditions a little. Marty, as far as I'm concerned, in a lot of ways, this is to me I was more impressed with him this game than any game, considering the elements and also the fact that this is the toughest defense. They are a tough, nasty defense. And they have a great scheme, and I thought he was really good, and that's why I said the Jets' future hangs with their offensive line, because if they can get him consistent, not perfect, nobody has perfect in the NFL, but get him some consistent pass line. This guy is good. He's good. And he doesn't have to be great. He just has to be good because their defense is good. Their receivers are talented now. Their running backs are great when Breece Hall gets back. Oh, so it's the offensive line.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Wait, Breece Hall and him and Bam Knight as a tandem.
Ray,
Michael Carter's a third. Oh my!
What's your feeling, Mike White? You think we found the guy? I mean,
from what I've seen so far, yeah. I mean, who didn't think that second time he got nailed by Milano looked like an instant replay of the first time he got nailed? I mean, he was laying in the same position. He got nailed, although he got nailed worse by Milano, because that looked like that might have been, that looked not like ribs. That almost looked like, kidney or spleen the way he took that shot. But that's why I'm glad they took him in for precautionary checkup, because he isn't going to be feeling good here in the next couple days.
No.
We got to hope he's back to normal by, Saturday or Sunday. But, barring him melting down, I think he every week he shows he's definitely an NFL quality quarterback. He doesn't, like Ralph said, he's not great. He doesn't have to be great. He just has to be play within the system, which he does, and keep moving this change and doing things he has to do. And I think he showed he can do it.
Six games. Yeah, we have to remember that. It's like crazy. Yeah.
I agree. I think he's just going to get better. Again, I think, remember last year I asked you guys, you think he'll learn to see the field better? I think today, the second half, he was seeing the field really well. I think the main thing he's got to work at is pocket awareness, protecting his body, knowing when to get rid of the ball. I mean, that sack was horrible, but he learned from it. And there's no doubt that this guy is as tough as nails.
Well, I think another thing he needs, he'll get better at is like pre-snap getting his protections, which
he
can help himself. Yeah. And like I said, six games in, no quarterback six games in is on top of that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, it's so funny listening to Romo. You know, he keeps saying this. Everyone hedges just because the guy was a fifth round draft pick. And I think we all do. And it's a foolish thing because we see how many great players are late picks or even undrafted. You know,
was Romo drafted?
No, he wasn't. That's the funny thing.
He should know as well as anybody.
And what's funny at the end, when it was fourth and one, he was saying they should go to it. I said to myself,
You don't know the Jets.
Too many Jets fans.
Yeah, even though he was saying they're playing back, I'm saying I'm not taking anything from Brandon. No, I said
go for the field goal.
Well, we'll talk about that play, that call later. Like,
the field goal is a right call. I know touchdown would have been better, but fourth and one, and we don't make it, and it's game over. And the way we go, hell, we couldn't get in twice on Minnesota.
Well, the other thing is, if we score the touchdown, if we don't get the 2-point conversion, the game is over too. So I think Salah just wanted to keep it alive, which I thought it was a toss up on that call.
Was a right call to me.
But I was
bothered
happy.
Me was actually earlier when we punted, but we had a third and 13 or 15, and he goes for everything. I'm like,
yeah,
and I go for third and six or seven, and then we can go for it with a makeable.
Where was that, like in the middle of the
it
field?
Was out, yeah, midfield. We ended up punting, which we needed to punt by then, but I was just like, why are you going for everything? Why, you know, try and get that first down and keep going, but whatever. I mean, we still had all our timeouts, and so, you know, it wasn't the killer, but it didn't.
Yeah.
I want to go through the scoring very quickly. Then we're going to give you our comments. But I want to ask Ray.
Scoring?
Yeah, really.
I want to ask Ray, who is the doctor as far as when it comes to penalties. Wilson made a catch on the right sideline, and he got hit. I thought that was a late hit. He got hit
way late. I mean, well, when I say way late, he was clearly out of bounds, and he got. It wasn't like the guy just gave him a shove. The guy nailed him.
Yeah, I don't know why we don't get those calls, do we?
No, we don't get those calls. That definitely should have been a. I mean, it's not like the guy tried to pull up at the end either, and he was clearly.
Yeah, you saw LaFleur was absolutely livid.
Oh, yeah,
up. By the way, Ray, just the hit that Matt Milano, which was a clean tackle.
It was a clean hit.
That was no different than what Quincy Williams did to Matt Ryan last year in the Atlantic game.
Exactly.
So why me, right?
Yeah, exactly. The funny thing about that, they looked like. You know, the same play over both hits. Nobody up the middle. Nobody touches
that. It's tough to protect yourself when a guy comes in up the middle. That's nasty.
Zach Wilson would not have.
Well, he would have been out of there, but he would have done something silly,
But to hang in there, make the throw he did, which
that's part of the job. Yeah,
holy cow.
I know.
I know. I hate to bring it up. Ray hates it, but I know. I always see. Tom Brady on the guy.
I don't need to hear about the
like curl
Patriots
up and the
whatever,
guy would go past him. You know,
I mean that, or just throw it away, or
he's going to get. I think he's going to get better. What's fascinating, we're not going to get into today, is that he's a free agent at the end of the year. That is so interesting to me.
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, I'll tell you one thing. He's got to hit the weight room. He's got to get his upper body a little stronger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Well,
he does.
If they can re-sign him now, now would be the time to try and do it. Because if you wait.
Joe Douglas has an interesting offseason. Yeah. A lot of ways. Very interesting. Yeah.
All right, let me just quickly the score, and then we're going to make some comments. It was almost a scoreless first half, but then Buffalo late in the second quarter, they went down 7 plays, 70 yards. Dawson Knox scored a 24-yard pass from Josh Allen.
Well, of course, why did that happen, Marty? You got to mention that.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ralph. I'll yield to you.
The Quincy Williams, C.J. Mosley, a guy who's so experienced, got sucked into that.
There's no way they were snapping that ball to Knox.
Oh, my God. of all people, that was just unbelievable.
Right. That was on the fourth down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that led to it.
Just when you think, like, you say, oh man, this game might end 7-0, they just have nothing on offense.
Yeah,
we come out and Mike White he leads him down 10 plays, 72 yards, and Zonovan Knight runs it in from 13 yards. Phenomenal. I love this guy. Like you said,
he's getting better every week, too.
Every week, and it's not just the yardage, you just see the way he runs his cuts.
Hard running, and they'll hit him, and it'll bounce vision. Off it. And
right, that's the thing about him. I love is that even behind the line of scrimmage, when they do these stupid deep handoffs, which never work.
Never.
I mean, if it's a play meant to lose 3 yards, he'll only lose 1 yard. He'll always get a couple of extra yards. Slip a tackle, break a tackle. He's got great instincts. So.
And I heard a comment this week. Somebody had mentioned about the Jets getting him, and somebody said, well, thank God that the Jets didn't just judge him on the stopwatch. They went by their eyes.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason, Marty, because he ran a lousy 40 at the combine.
Terrible.
He said he overtrained, which I probably believe him. He ran about a 4.49, I think, at his pro day. But that's the NFL. They'll never learn. They'll never learn.
I think they put way too much emphasis on the 40 anyway. I just think
watch the film, man. I mean, just watch the film.
That's it. You know, I think we got lucky too, because I couldn't believe we put him on the practice squad. And
how many times did he get cut?
Did you imagine?
He got cut a couple of times.
So yeah. Mike White, I think, got cut like 6 times.
Could you imagine him on some other team right now and going, we had him and we didn't go?
Yes.
So he ain't going anywhere now.
Right. You know, Ralph, who's the guy I always refer to?
Danny Woodhead.
Danny Woodhead. But this guy's better.
This guy's way better than Danny Woodhead. Way better.
But anyway, this I thought was the darkest part of the game is the way the Bills answered right back after we scored. They had to stop him. They go 6 plays, 75 yards. Josh Allen runs 5 yards. You know, it's funny. We keep saying this guy can't keep up this running. He'll never last in the league.
Well, it wasn't that run, but that one.
Oh, I know that, but I'm saying in general.
He spun around in the air and everything. I'm like, he's going to take one of those too many. Well,
third and 16. You know, they just got lucky with a couple of long third downs. But the Bills dropped a lot of passes today. I have to say, it's rare to say that team drops more than the Jets, but they did. And it bothers me that the Jets – are leaving plays out there that when they have the team's third and deep. And that drives me absolutely – is that the most frustrating thing in the game?
Well, not only that, I made a note. When are we going to get a turnover? When was the last time we had a turnover?
I don't remember.
We were doing great early in the year, and then suddenly it stopped.
We know it has to be an interception. We're never going to fumble.
I think it's because Mike White – since
the Buffalo game?
Yeah, since Mike White took over. I think he's the problem.
We didn't get any against either New England – oh, wait. Well, we had one in New England, but then we got
– Well, we're not going to talk about that.
I think the Buffalo – I think the last Buffalo game was –
We got 2 interceptions off of him,
Tyler Bass ended the scoring, a field goal with 2:23 to go. It was 17-7. In the fourth quarter, Tyler Bass opened up the scoring with a field goal. And then later on, Jermaine Johnson, he comes in with a safety. And, of course, it does not take a jet bounce, which I'm going crazy.
Oh, that would have changed the game.
That would have changed the entire game.
I've never seen a block punt leave the end zone as fast as that. It was unbelievable. I'm going crazy. And I keep getting texts from people, why didn't somebody just pounce on it? I said, well, what are you kidding me? That thing was
out. Well, I mean, Jermaine Johnson kept going after it, but he gave up because it was just he was the only one even close.
Yeah,
that was outstanding. Yeah,
it was a great play, but it didn't change that much in the game. No, unfortunately,
it did.
We had to score on that next drive to change the game, and we didn't.
Right.
Was that the next drive? Was the one when Carter fumbled?
I think it was after the
safety.
Yeah,
that was the killer.
And well, we ended the score on Greg Zuerlein, a 26-yard field goal, 9 plays, 55 yards. And you know what, Ralph, you could be right. That might have been Mike White's best drive in his career. That last drive.
The last drive, I was thinking of the one, the first one in the second half.
Oh yeah, that was
a couple of great passes. The one to Barrios. I don't know how he got that there.
That was a Peyton Manning pass, Ray. I was thinking about that. The way he put it in there to Barrios was just
to Barrios, who's like so short. By the way, I like Barrios, but I don't think he had a great game today. And
he did.
I think he's out there too much. You know, when he's out there, they target him because they got to target the guy who's open, and he just is such a small target.
I'd rather target Elijah Moore. And in fact,
absolutely.
I was telling my son, with those conditions, with the way the ground is, I would have tried to get him short and have him juke guys. I think he could have maybe broken.
Yeah, well, he did a couple of nice moves. Absolutely, because he gets better separation than Barrios.
Yeah.
And as far as Mims goes,
he had a decent
game. There's something about Mims that bothers me. He lets the ball get into his body too much. And that's why he got that pass defended. If he had his hands out, I don't think the defender would have gotten around him. It's not just this game. He has a bad habit of doing that. Sometimes he jumps also. And he shouldn't be doing that at his size. And I'm a little concerned about that. They got to work on that.
They do. Anyway, the Zuerlein ends the score. We lose 20-12. There's a lot of things I want to mention. First off, this bothered me. Me and my son were going back and forth. Our snaps on the shotgun, everyone is low to Mike.
They were low to. Yeah, I started watching after you mentioned that. Yeah.
Which I just don't understand. He's not in the best position. Looking at the field too, he's got to, you know, got to work on whoever it is after McGovern if he's not with the team.
Well, that's a big that's one of his big decisions he's got to make.
Big decision.
Yeah.
Also, I made a note. First down yardage. It's just beyond embarrassment. And Ray, can we do anything on first down besides run the ball? Can we do a play action?
He did a couple later. Yeah. After we started complaining, he did a couple later. And they worked, actually. And by the way, he did a third and one play action, too, or was it a fourth and one? Which one was it? He threw a little pass to Elijah Moore on the right.
Yeah.
It was either third or fourth and one. It was a big play.
Yeah. It was,
I think even LaFleur is getting the message that this line can't get a yard.
I think I've complained about that for years, is we're so predictable on first down. It's not even funny. It just, you don't need to do tricky things, but, you know, change it up. Just change it up. Do something.
Well, these deep handoffs drive me nuts. They just absolutely drive me nuts.
And before Bam Knight, that was first and half a yard, you know, now he's at least getting some yards.
Yeah.
Still, it's like every defense is like, okay, where's he? We're going to, you know, we're going to shut this down till they try something different. They're going to hand it off tackle to the left.
Ray, another thing for you, in our last set of downs, I don't know if they just swallowed the whistle. There was a pass in the vicinity of Barrios. He was being held. He didn't have a chance. He didn't touch the ball. Do you remember that at the very end of the game?
The last time they had the ball. Well, I don't remember that one.
Not sure, but
it was like to the middle right.
Oh, vaguely. I remember the deep one. He tried to wing one to Wilson, and actually Wilson was kind of open, but Romo said that he had to get rid of it early because he was getting rushed, and so the timing wasn't there. Yeah. It all comes back to the offensive line. It really does. We're talking about these third and fourth and ones and first downs. It's the offensive line. It's
the offensive line. Yeah. And he'll get better about maybe making some adjustments
with his
blocking too, because he needs to bring somebody in there to help. I guess when two guys twice in the game come up the middle without being touched and just absolutely destroy him, you know, that's a little bit on him. He's got to see that.
Right. And the other thing he's got to improve on, and Ralph touched upon it either the last week or the week before, too many tip passes.
I'm surprised. 6'5", and he in the last our last gasp play.
That was a nice play by the guy.
And the guy was open. Who was he throwing?
I think it was Moore. He said that guy though had a lot of penetration. Whoever he was blocking him, he pushed him back a couple of yards, and so he made a good play.
He did. But last week I think he had 3 knocked down, and I'm just like, okay,
Ralph. But I'll tell you how to offset that, and you could put it in the play. I haven't seen him do it. You could have him do a pump fake, because that will lift guys off their feet. And if you do that once or twice, they don't know if he's faking after that, if he's going to pass the ball. I think it's something you have to put in there.
Good point. We have to measure his hands to see if he can do a pump fake.
Well, you think he's got Kenny Pickett size hands?
No, actually, I looked. I think he's got 9.5, which is the standard.
Kenny Pickett, he'd be wearing gloves.
Right, yeah. I made a note, I don't know, somewhere down in the game, for whatever reason, they had Whitehead on Diggs.
Oh, I was going to mention that too.
I don't know what
one on one.
Well, Buffalo, you know, Buffalo's making, they're creating different matchups, so you know they're smart too. You know, he was in the slot, I think, and
I don't
moved
know.
Them around.
They did. That's a good point. In the second half, they moved him into the slot
because he wasn't getting anything in the first half.
But yeah. I would just keep man to man. Keep either Reed or Sauce.
Well, then, you know, you got to expect Sal to change his philosophy. I don't know if he's ready to do that at this point. Maybe next year when he sees a full year of Gardner, he'll do that. But
the only thing I'd say about that is would they have done that if it was Jefferson last week, leave Whitehead on him alone? I can't, you know, the number one receiver, you can't leave us.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe it was a surprise. Maybe it was a formation I hadn't seen.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw that too, and I was like, Jesus, that was a
that was like taking candy from a baby.
That was so easy. Right. He made one move, and he had like 3 yards of separation.
Right, and by the way, I saw Ralph. You text right after I text. There was the our safety from Illinois, Adams.
Yeah, I'd seen it, you know, earlier in the game. I saw 22. Who the heck is that? And then I said, oh, my God, that's Tony Adams.
He made a great play.
Yeah. I think they put him in for Carter because Carter was struggling. That's my hunch. I don't know if maybe he played safety, but he was on a wide receiver?
So whatever it is, he made a nice play.
He made a very nice play.
Yeah, honestly, I thought Michael Carter got a couple tough calls against
them. They were tough. Yeah, I'm a Michael Carter guy. I like both Michael Carters, even though they had tough games.
Yeah, he got some really tight calls on him.
But, you know, Marty, you bring up Tony Adams, and I'm thinking when I'm watching this game, if I'm Joe Douglas, my first and maybe my first and second pick are offensive linemen. We've got to build that up. I know we need safeties, but I can live with Whitehead. They're going to have him. If they can replace Joyner, I'm thinking maybe Tony Adams is the guy.
Maybe he could.
He's got some length, and he was a cornerback in college for a while. So, you know, find someone. Maybe Will Parks. I don't know. But I can live with the safeties. But the offensive line has got to be addressed big time. Yeah.
I agree. I made a note. We spoke about this. White's, when he took that sack, that 13-yard sack, it was a terrible play. He's got to get rid of the ball.
That was a Zach sack, and he should know better, and he learned. You're right. There's Ray's cat.
I also mentioned that Romo was wrong on the 4th-and-1 because he hasn't watched the Jets. Right, Ray?
I understand Romo's thinking. He's thinking they're going to drop back. Too. But even with a 3-man front, I don't trust that offensive line to get a yard.
I made a note that Bryce Huff, again, I said this before, he's held on every play.
I'm telling you. I think he's getting faster every
year. He is so fast. I'm wondering, and I want to ask Ray, Bryce Huff is strictly a situational defensive end. At this point, Do you think he deserves getting in some more plays, maybe some running plays, like first and second
down? Yeah, I'd like to see what he does in a normal, you know, where it's not just a passing situation, see if he can, because he's not, like, slow. So he actually, I would think, would be a good run stopper as well. He may, he's an outside guy. He doesn't need to be a run stuffer. He's got speed. He's a good tackler. So I don't see any reason he couldn't be a good good defender against the run as well as the pass. What I had a problem with was, and I think that's where the spying on Josh Allen comes in. You put Bryce Huff in, you know, he's coming, and he just, it almost looked like, let me give him a second to come up the field, and I'm going to go right inside him and run to the outside.
Right. That's a good point, right? But I would say, Marty, that, you know, in the NFL, almost every down is a passing down potentially now.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't just put him on a third and long. You're right. Anytime right. there's a second and if it's beyond five, I'd put him in there.
Yeah.
And I'd even put him, try him on the other. I don't know if he's as good on the other side, but I just move that guy around. Yeah, he needs to get more snaps.
That's what I think. Hey, listen, I just want to do a shout out. I had a little Christmas dinner with some old buddies, and they're big Jet fans.
They don't listen to the show, though.
Well, you're going to like this, right? My friend Glenn Krausheimer, who's in White Plains, New York, but he's got his son Seth in Madrid, Spain, who's a huge Jet fan. So he's going to be listening to this. And not only that, but he's got a son in Tempe, Arizona, Aaron, who's
Tempe, Marty country.
We know that. Yeah. Who's, Ray, you'll like this. He's part of the Jets group in Phoenix.
Oh, nice.
Get together.
I can look them up.
Yeah. So that's a shout out to the Krausheimers. That's my friend Glenn, Seth in Madrid, and Aaron in Tempe or Phoenix. Okay. Anyway, back to the Jets. You know, I'm the one person, and Ralph, you know this. I'm the last person in the world to ever admit there may be a moral victory in an NFL loss. And as frustrating as that game was last week, the things that we saw in the second half and the things that are correctable, and I say it every week, I know you guys might think it's a little over-exaggerated, but the way these guys go out of the game and come in and play for Robert Saleh, not just Mike White, but George Fant went down too. And then he came in, which is a blessing, because if I don't know if you saw my text about Remmers,
yeah,
he was the guy in the Super Bowl, Ray, when Tampa Bay beat Kansas City. He was like, he was getting eaten up. I just am pretty optimistic. There's a lot of
tackle though, so
yeah, there's just a lot of decisions in the off scenes that got to be made. Now, moving forward, we played the Detroit Lions at home this week. And I think the following Thursday, we're home against Jacksonville. Is that
right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So
we got to win both of those.
We do. And they're not gimmies at all.
Right.
I think Detroit put Minnesota to bed today.
That's right. We softened them up and they put them to bed.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things, and I'm going to be a whining Jet fan, our last two opponents, they actually had like 10 days to prepare because they had like, I guess, Thursday night games before us. Now, I don't know if it's fair, or if you guys think it's a big disadvantage, but I just think like the NFL should look into that. And they should make it, you know, have some more parity, especially they're on the road for those two games. And the opposition has 10 games to prepare. What's your thoughts, Ralph, on that?
As long as the Jets had a regular week, I don't put much stock into that.
Yeah.
Okay, Ray.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big a deal. I think it's more a case of when we're on the road, I think we're a different team than when we're at home, and just, you know, preparing is different. Travel is different, you know, however the schedule works out, it is what it is. You just deal with it. But I don't like it. I don't like the Thursday games in general, because I don't like the really short week for either team, you know, the week of, But if you win that game, you're in a really good spot for the next game, because then you do have the 10 days off. But I just don't like the Thursday games, because I think that's for the fans more than not for the league. And
it is for the NFL money.
There's no advantage for the teams in playing a Thursday night game.
I think they're all for keeping the game safer, and then they have all these Thursday night games. Yeah. It's so full of crap. It's unbelievable.
I want to ask Raf a question, and then we're going to get into what do you think the percentages are that the Jets make the playoffs. Raf, was it any surprise of what we witnessed when Joe Flacco went in the game?
Well,
I didn't think it happened that fast.
Yeah, as I said, I mean, the offensive line is got to be improved, and for a guy like Flacco, it magnifies it. So, yeah, it's tough. I mean, Zach Wilson, if he had been in there, he would have been running around like he always does, and I don't know what he would have made out of the plays, but. It's all about the offensive line, Marty.
Yeah, I'm not going to beat Flacco. I mean, it was disappointing, and I even texted you guys like, "Well, that was fast. That's first play in." But you know, he's trying to make a play on a pass play, which is not easy. You go in after sitting for so long, and all of a sudden you're going in throwing a pass, and not just like a screen pass, but if he had a little better protection, he was just going to make a throw. So who knows? Somebody may have been open down the field and a little more protection, and maybe he makes a big play instead of a fumble. So,
Right. I want to just go through a couple of statistics, not a lot, but before I do, I have another question. It could have been on that Barrios ricochet, but I think it was Tyler Conklin was in the air. Did you think he had a shot to get that when it was?
I don't recall. I know Tyler Conklin didn't have a great game today.
Which one?
The one that was ricocheted off of Barrett's.
Yeah, it was a little slant over the middle. Oh, right?
Flacco, the other time Flacco was in there, and he threw the one to Conklin, and it was a little high, and it got tipped. He got his hand on it, but then it fell incomplete. And I thought, man, that was just a case of he hasn't been in there. If he hits that pass, we end up with points on that drive. Mm. And that could have been big too. Cause we were out around midfield, and that drive ended up stalling. He hits him, we're down around the 35 or 30, and we're at least in field goal range to try for three. So, that's the play that I remember.
Right. I want to ask you guys, what you think is the percentage we think the Jets have a chance to make the playoffs. Before I do, I want to do also a shout out to Dwayne Brown. It's taken for granted, but this guy is playing like with a torn rotator cuff. I think he's under pain every game. He has pain. So I just want to do a shout out to this guy. He's playing with his guts.
This is more decisions for Joe.
Right.
Joe Douglas, is he going to extend Fan? Personally, I wouldn't, because he gets hurt too much and he's not that good. But Dwayne Brown, do they bring him back?
Well, let me ask you this, Al and Ray. He's got like a 2-year contract, I think $21 million, 10 and 11, give or take. What if he goes to Dwayne Brown and goes, listen, you're 39. We love you in the locker room. Will you renegotiate and you're going to be a swing tackle at $5 or $6 million? You think that's doable, Ralph?
I know he wants to be a left tackle. That's where he's at. There's, like I said, there's so many moving parts. What happens with Becton? I mean, I know us three, we don't trust him at all, but I don't know if Joe Douglas has more trust in him. Does he think that he can actually fill one of the tackle spots next year? I mean, I don't know. It'd be great to have depth like that, but I don't know if Brown would go for it. I think he might.
I think he likes it here. What do you think, Ray? Think there's a shot?
I might talk to him about it. I mean, I don't know. I don't, how can you put any faith in Becton coming back and actually playing? So I think actually what you're talking about is are we going to want Dwayne Brown as a left tackle again?
No, I want him.
That's where he's going to end up. I don't have any belief that Becton will make it through 17 games. He can't make it through one right now.
The guy had been durable, but he's 38. He's going to be 30.
I know.
I want him on the 53-man roster, but I want him as a backup. Mm. I think he's a good guy to have. I don't know if he'll go for it. There are ways of structuring the salary, putting it in the form of a bonus. You know, that's up to Joe Douglas, as you said. Yeah. All right, quickly, stats, Mike White, 27-44, 268 yards. We couldn't care less about it. I thought he played really well this Saturday. Zonovan Knight, 17 carries, 71 yards. The guy's a keeper. A couple of receiving stats. Garrett Wilson, 6 receptions, 78 yards. He was targeted 7 times. Elijah Moore, 6 receptions, 60 yards.
He
was targeted 10 times.
Excellent, excellent. We need to get this guy up to be a factor.
Right, so I'm sure
his I think they focused on Garrett Wilson because he didn't see as much out of him, so I think that made Moore.
Which is fine.
Well, no, I'm all for that. I mean, you don't need to go. You don't need to force it to anybody.
Yeah,
take who's there.
I was sorry to see Corey Davis go down. I know we knock him a lot, but he catches the balls in his hands, and he catches those high passes.
He does.
Third downs. So, yeah, I hope he can play next
year. As soon as I saw his head hit the ground, I'm like,
yeah. I think he got hit a couple of times with helmets first. Yeah. He got hit with a helmet, and then he got hit on the ground. Yeah, that was the end of him.
Denzel Mims, 3 receptions, 35 yards, targeted 5 times. Tyler Conklin, 5 receptions, 28 times, targeted 8 times. And I'll just finish with Braxton Barrios, 1 reception, 25 yards, which was a textbook. It was gorgeous.
Tremendous play. Tremendous best play of the game for the Jets.
Best play of the game. Yeah. And he was targeted 3 times. Tackles, C.J. Mosley, 9 tackles, which, I don't know. Quincy Williams, 6.
He made a few big plays, Mosley. He did.
He did.
He did. And
Quincy Williams blasted. Who was the – was it the running back?
Quincy he made a great blasted. Play.
And he also stopped Josh Allen on a play where he was certain to get a first down again. Would you rather have Jamin Sherwood in there? Come on. I mean, Mosley's not great, but he's still pretty good.
Good. D.J. Reed, 5 tackles. Sauce Gardner, 4 tackles.
Sauce Gardner made a couple of really good tackles. He showed me, you know, because they're not throwing to him anymore. They tried him once, and he made a nice play. But he came up and stuck a couple of guys. I'm really happy to see that now.
Right. LaMarcus Joyner, 4 tackles. Sheldon Rankins, who's my surprise player of the year, 4 tackles, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss. Queenie Williams, 3 tackles, 2 sacks. He went out. Quan Alexander, they gave Quan Alexander credit for a sack. I think that was not him. I think it was because of our guy. What's his name?
Huff,
yeah. I really believe so because they don't have anything down here for Huff. And that's about it. So anything else? And next we'll probably be on the air Thursday night with our preview show. But any last comments, Ralph or Ray?
Well, I think, you know, the Jets, they got to go 3-1 if they want to make the playoffs. That's going to be tough because these two games that which looked like they were going to be easier games are not now. Seattle seems to be fading a little. Did they win today?
Yeah, they were still playing last I heard. Who are they playing? They were playing.
They're losing to Carolina.
Carolina, that's
2017.
Right.
I guess Sam Darnold.
Yeah, it's a close game.
Meanwhile, as we're talking, the 49ers are killing the Buccaneers as Brock Purdy is 14 for 18. 185 yards, 2 TDs.
Okay, so it doesn't matter who plays quarterback.
Mr. Irrelevant looks pretty relevant today.
Which is
good. You know, he was, he used to hand the ball off to Breece Hall. So he's the talent behind Breece Hall, apparently.
All right, we're going to close this
out. Wait a minute. I do got one thing we all want to keep an eye on. Quinnen Williams' injury.
Yes.
I thought it was a knee the way he was laying there and holding his leg.
A knee or an Achilles, something like that.
Yeah, that's what it looked like when he was on the field. But it's a calf, which still could be a 2 or 3 week.
Yeah, my gut is that he won't play next week.
No, I don't think so either, which that could affect a lot of things with this defense.
Absolutely, although at least they'll know going in. You know, it's kind of it messes with your mind when it happens in the middle of the game. I'm sure it hurt. The defense was definitely shaken by that. But, Yeah, in the long run, I'm kind of relieved because, you know, if we miss him for a game or two, it'll hurt, but don't want that guy to have a knee operation.
I heard initially, though, he's game to game. That's right after the game.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
Yeah, that's what they're going to say. But
yeah. Anyway, we're going to close this out for Ray Clifford, Ralph Schrager, Marty Shupak, and Jets Rewind. I'll be on Tuesday, Jets 2 Minute Tuesday.
Can't wait.
Full of stuff you're not going to believe. So until next time, let's go Jets.